Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What are you going to do for Christmas, during Christmas period? What are your plans during Christmas period? Praise the Lord. Are you going to spend time with family? Are you going to spend time with, yourself perhaps? Praise God. Question is, can you actually spend time with yourself? Are you capable of spending time with yourself? Just you. Like 15 minutes with yourself. No stimulus, no phone, no television, no book, no person, just you and yourself. Are you capable of doing that? Is that something you can do? What if we increase it to 30 minutes? You know, there are some people who would be, and I know that because I've seen it in teenagers, their fingers would be itchy if they spent 30 minutes without a gadget. But of course, it's also true for adult, and they need something to stimulate them. They cannot spend time with themselves. Praise the Lord. So now what happens is they never have original ideas. All the ideas they have are other people's ideas. So you wake up and go on social media and start reading what other people have written. And that formulates your whole day's path. You're reading what so-and-so has written, you agree with him, you disagree with him, you're angry, you're happy, you're what. But somehow, they have set the tone for your day. Just by you starting your day reading what somebody else has written. Of course, you don't realize how much, ultimately, that is a trap for you. Because that's one day, then the other, and then a habit, and then suddenly. So now when they tell you to spend time with yourself, like it's so difficult, even just an hour is a trial with nothing, no stimulus. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you this, that when you do that, when you're like that, you forfeit such a big part of your calling, because everything that is going to be communicated to you from a higher place comes in a place of still. Be still. When your soul is boisterous, you can't hear anything. That's why people find it so difficult to even get any form of, communication from the Spirit. And from the Spirit, I mean from the Spirit of God, but also from their own spirit. Amen? Because any communication from your spirit is a communication from the Spirit of God if you're born again. Praise the Lord. Because the scripture says, he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. And it also says in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord. Okay? So the communication from your spirit is a communication from God. It's the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depth of his heart. So, the question is, I'm trying to set your holiday season for you here, for you to give you something to pursue. Because it's going to be more than a month before we come and meet again. So you have to have something that you will be doing that is of value. So you cut off all stimuli and start listening to yourself. But you don't just listen to yourself. You first give your spirit a direction in which you want it to communicate to you. And then, when you give it that direction, it starts speaking to you in accordance to that direction that you have given it. What you'd be doing in giving it direction is actually what is called meditating. which is an art which a lot of the young people are lost altogether. Of course, because of the gadgets and all that, among other things. A lot of entertainment, which is all okay, but then they find that they can't just sit there and be by themselves. So it turns out that if you actually learn how to meditate, the proper meditation, of course there are different levels of meditation. The simplest one is the one of repetitive hearing the same thing over and over again. That one I've talked to you about. The one of bombarding your mind with the same message until it has no choice but to receive it. So you repeat the same thing over and over, either through your mouth or through maybe, you know, some audio message or so on. And you repeat it over and over and over and over again until your mind has no choice, because every time it's what you put in front of it. So eventually it starts consuming that. And that's one form of meditation. But that's really the lowest form of meditation. Or you repetitively speaking something to yourself, which you want to, you know, you speak. It can be a while before your spirit catches on it, because you're speaking it. And that's also meditation, actually. But then, in that sort of meditation, you're mostly speaking to your soul, and it is not speaking back to you. Now, the real meditation is actually a conversation. Have you ever woken up and you're having a conversation about something, and you've been, for the time when you're about to wake up, there's something happening there and there's a conversation. Either you're conversing with somebody or conversing with, you don't know who, you see, eh? But there's an exchange going on somewhere in between there, and there's a message for you if you actually, sometimes, of course, if you've tuned yourself properly. And so you wake up and you are telling somebody this, then you are telling the other, then you're telling somebody this, the other. And there's something going on there. And actually, it's a form of meditating when you're what? When you're half awake, half asleep. But my point is this. You can actually learn how to speak, be two people. And you speak, there's a conversation going on in between you and yourself. Okay? And then it gives direction. And I'll give you an example of, like how I meditate. So, some time ago, actually not too long ago, I just decided to get to the end of that scripture, which says that, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, which says that he has given us precious promises by which we are partakers of the divine nature, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So I was thinking, what is the divine nature? How does somebody be when they are partaken of the divine nature? And now it says, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is through desire. So there's a corruption in the world that you escape through, and then you partake of the divine nature. Now, that's what I wanted. That's what I was thinking. So I start here. So I start thinking that, how do you partake of the divine nature? Then I start seeing that there are keywords here. Then I go to a scripture. In my mind, I'm thinking now, another scripture that is similar to this. Then I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then I start reading from verse 45. This is not what I'm preaching. I'm just telling you how I meditate. Okay? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last became a life-giving spirit. Go ahead. However, the spiritual is not first, but natural. And afterwards, the spiritual. I'm more interested in verse 49, but let's go on. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. That is Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven, the spirit. And says, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Then I go ahead. Then he says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, this is the one I was mostly interested in. Now you see, it says here, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, but this is wrong interpretation. You see, the people interpreted the Bible They are told to get the nearest thing that makes sense. Amen? So sometimes, and then if you're reading and doing study, in the middle, if depending on which Bible you're using, in the middle, they will show you what the original Bible said. Okay? Now, when I saw here, the original Bible says, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, let us also bear the image of the heavenly man. But you see, they were all thinking futuristically. They are thinking heaven, heaven, heaven. But here it's saying here, you see, it says let us bear, because we have been faithful to the man of dust, haven't we? We know how to feed him. We know how to clothe him. We know how to, you know, go to the spa and do our nails and basically look good. And have you ever seen people who are, you know, pampering the man of dust? Like, and how committed they are to pampering the man of dust. Now, he says also, likewise, let us what? Bear the image of the heavenly man. So now I add that scripture. Then usually, I'm just going through this. Usually, then I will look and see where there is an example. If there is a principle in the New Testament which I'm meditating on, there is always an example of somebody who did it in the Bible. And I see how they did it. It can be in the Old Testament, it can be the New Testament, it can be King David, it can be Elijah, it can be, you know, Joseph, anybody. And then you study it, and then you actually pick up a principle, really, which you got first in principle, then second in practice from somebody who did it. And that's how you end up, you know, getting. And then now, of course, this is interesting if you know the Bible. If you don't know the Bible, then you first dedicate some time to actually reading it. But even if you don't know the Bible so well, you can use the wonder of Google or of the search engine. Because if you go to those Bible apps, you can just put heavenly man and it will show you everywhere. It's in the scripture. Now that's the lazy way, but it's better. You see, Now then, because that's what you actually. Now, by the time I'm through with this, and then I go and where it says in James, Elijah was a man without a nature like ours, without passions, but he told it not to rain and it did not rain. Then I moved to that, then I moved to the other. Now I'm building something inside me. There's a whole conversation going on inside me. You understand? So now I'm seated there and I'm all over the Bible, but I don't have a Bible anywhere near me. If there's something I want to remember exactly what it says, I might get the Bible, but I don't need it because it's here. So now I'm thinking, I read the scripture which also talks about this. This one also talks about this. This one. Then I start putting them together. Now I'm beginning to direct my spirit on what I want it to communicate to me. Amen? So, by the time I'm through here, I'm saying, what is the heavenly nature like? People who have put on the heavenly man, or people who have the divine nature, what is it like? So I start, of course, you know what it is, because, you know, it uses Jesus as the example, but then you can define it in a way that suits you. Then now you start going down. That can take you, when you're actually conversing inside your head, that can take you all of 30 minutes. Now, after that, your spirit starts speaking to you, and you get revelations on these things which you never knew whatsoever. Some of my most powerful moments of inspiration have come in times like this. Even when I'm not, even sometimes to get messages, but I don't meditate to get messages, okay? I meditate to learn. Even sometimes, there's a thing I remember, I was studying end time deception. Then I was looking at deception. And then I was saying, what is deception? Deception, you know, is somebody goes, believes something is true. Then I read, it says, Adam was not deceived, but Eve being deceived ate of the fruit. Then I say, that's interesting. Adam was not deceived. Did you know that? That's what the scripture says. Adam just did it out of solidarity with his wife, but he knew what she had done was fake. That's what the scripture says. Out of what? Solidarity. Because now the devil came and deceived Eve, who, by the way, wasn't even there yet when God told Adam not to eat of the fruit. Eve was formed after that. So the instruction was to who? To Adam. So now Eve comes and Adam tells her, God says we should not touch that thing. Now the devil knows if he goes for the man who was there, it's a bit complicated. So he goes for the lady. Then twists her, twists her, twists her. Then at the end of it all, she's deceived. But he's not. Now the interesting thing is, man never failed when Eve ate the fruit. It's only when Adam ate it that man failed. If Adam had refused, would still be in the Garden of Eden. But so did what? You mean you don't love me? What? So he says, okay, bring the fruit and let us go down together. That was the first Romeo and Juliet. Adam and Eve, let's go down together. Anyway, so but it says in Timothy that Adam wasn't deceived, which means he knew what he was doing. Now, deceiving, when you deceive somebody, they think they know. They think they are in control, but they are not, because you've, you know, twisted the truth. It's a bit different from lying. So I was looking at deception, and I say, how did the world get deceived to the point that it is right now? Like, where are we? At the time, I was thinking about things like homosexuality. How can people be deceived to the point that he sees a woman and he doesn't want her, he wants a man? Like, how can you be so stupid in your head? Like, that is beyond belief. But there is no, you can convince me that there is any logic. What's even gay rights? What that is, when you, like there is no way you can. But now you see, that's how deception works. Here it says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell in transgression. Now, so the point is, so I was thinking about deception. How do people come from a place where it is very simple? Man meets woman. Man loves woman. It's as simple as ABC. Then you complicate it, then end up with man with a man. And then you think you're sophisticated. And then for us who are still thinking straight, you call us bigots. Bigotry. Over what? And those power religious zealots. But you are a fool. Like, you're the definition of the word fool. Now, so I was thinking, how do we come from this to that? How is it possible that we come from this to that? Then, as well as other things which you've seen. Then I was thinking about deception. Because I was thinking end time, I was preaching and, you know, I was going to talk about deception from the end time perspective. Then suddenly, after I'd continued wandering, then now my spirit started speaking to me. Then it gave me something, the six stages of deception. You remember when I wrote something like that? I read it. That just comes out of those moments of inspiration. Like, I didn't know there are six stages. I just started meditating on deception, and then the next thing, I see six stages of deception, and then I see them there, then I write. Number one, number two, number six. And then when I wrote it and put it that time on Facebook, I wrote it in a short time and just put it on Facebook. And then it became big, big, big. People shared it all over. There's somebody I know who lost his job in UN because he shared that thing. Because I was talking about homosexuality. You don't talk about homosexuality in UN. Like, that's their God. It's a religion. So you see what I'm saying? You start out discussing between you and you. Then eventually, your spirit starts giving you things which you did not know. You start with what you knew. And then you are so engrossed in it, then you get real revelation. Now, in that place is where you get things which make you unique. Not on social media. That's where you get ideas which are your own, which you can build on. Praise the Lord. And you get them there, and now you be original. Now, where we are going, there is not going to be any place for duplication. Either you have original ideas, or you are going to be a servant. Those on top will be people who have original ideas. So you go and repeat what other people are saying. You repeat what other people are saying. And now, so you can direct your mind in any different direction. Why am I like, what does the Bible say about this? And, you know, so you give it, you know. Now, this is what you're going to do. I want you to come back next year when you're fresh with original ideas. First, fall out of love with your phone. A bit. And then, not entirely, I mean, that would be too difficult an exam for you. But a bit. And spend time with you. So actually, now it says in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Now, that's where the progress actually is, because it says, meditate on these things. Then it says, give yourself entirely to them. Now, when you're meditating on something, you have to completely give yourself to it. It says, give yourself entirely to it. Don't be half-hearted. Because now, of course, when in the process of meditating, some other thing comes up, you know, if you're a family man, then your kid will come around and jump on you, and you know what? That's the end of the meditation. Because now you have to concentrate. But then, of course, find a time when what? That is not going to happen. Praise the Lord. And now you see, and say, give yourself entirely to them. Not half-heartedly. There is, if meditation is half-hearted, it's not meditation. You're just thinking. Meditation is something which is deep, which gets deep inside you. Now, when you get to that place, and you can actually do that today and do it tomorrow, you'll start having dreams almost, even when you just doze in a taxi, you have a dream. Because your spirit becomes active. Praise the Lord. And they will not just be dreams. They will be real directional dreams. Dreams where you almost as if see something and which is going to be of value to you. And then you stop telling us that, I don't know what's wrong with me. I dream and I forget. It's because your spirit is inactive. Praise the Lord. So now, if you do this and just do it, just try it, well, and progress to a point that now when you go to sleep, you are in a certain place of activity, thinking about something powerful. Then also, you learn how to sleep shallow sleep. You see, some people sleep on the deep. You sleep when you're so tired. Some of the best dreams I get when I sleep in the afternoon. When I'm not sleeping out of extreme fatigue, I'm just lazy sleeping. Because somehow you're half asleep and what? You even see visions there. You see so many things. I remember sometime when I was like that, half asleep, like just. Then in my mind, it was actually as if I walked, and then I went to a certain hill where I was overlooking the city, and I was looking at the city like this from somewhere. Then suddenly, a scripture came to mind. It says, "I have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ." I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, "But we have the mind of Christ." So I started saying, "I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ." So I said it over and over again in the dream. And I was actually speaking, "I have the mind of Christ." Then I saw myself ascending. High, 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 high. Now I could see the city down. Then I just kept on saying that, until actually I reached a place where I could hear voices in heaven. And they were talking. And they were talking about me. And then they said, they said something which I found very interesting. The voice said, somebody told the other, talking about me, that now he's about to wake up. But the first thing he will do when he wakes up is he will think about breakfast. Now, then I realized that. So I woke up. And guess what I thought about? But then I realized, of course, the purpose of it was two things. First of all, you can only ascend as far as you let your mind take you. Amen? If you really spend all your time, your mind, you know, you'll not ascend anywhere. So as I kept on saying, I have the mind of Christ, I went higher, higher, higher. I say I have the mind, I went higher and higher. And I could hear voices. Then when I woke up like this, and then the first thought that crossed my mind, what's for breakfast? But then I realized that that's a very bad thing. It's terrible to wake up and think about food. Because the first thing the thing though is I'd slept hungry. The thing that they were trying to tell me is that the first thought in the morning is very important in directing your day. Okay? Don't let it be food or something worse than food. So anyway, That was long ago, long, long time ago. Now, when you accustom yourself to this real meditation, the one I'm talking about, there is the other one of bombarding your mind, listening to the same message over and over and over and over again. Good. But there is this other one, which is now real meditation, where you mull over the scriptures and you get words spoken to you in that time. And you just, sometimes they are not words, sometimes it's just a knowledge of something. And now when you get it from there and apply it, it is never the same as something you got from somebody else. There is something about originality. It is never the same as something you got from somewhere else. Never. Somebody can, you can tell it to people, they can go and duplicate it and do it, but they will never get the same results as the person who got it first, who originally got it. Praise the Lord. Now you see, when the revelation becomes common, so many people have it, but they are never the same as the person who originally got it. So now, and then you can never beat somebody with his revelation. Praise the Lord. It is his. He will always be ahead of you. It's like the way these Bazungu will do with us with the internet. They will give you, or with phones, they will give you what they know that. If they will let you have 1 year, that one they probably developed it in 2005. Then when they have gone so far ahead, then they let you have that one. And then you know, they have to keep ahead of you. You understand? Even the internet, they will only give you as much as they can monitor. They will not let you have too much, that you are in control. You are not supposed to be in control. You're the one who invented it. Praise the Lord. But now, anyway. So it says, meditate on these things. Eh? Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress might be evident to all. Now, I want you to know that the progress is here, actually. The evident progress, not the progress of words. You see, there's a lot of words. People talking, but real progress, which people can see, is here. That your progress may be evident to everybody. What makes the difference? The meditation, that your progress is evident. Now, when you actually start doing, you can be in a business, and your question is, how am I going to? Now, sometimes even you'll get a direction in line with business when you are meditating on something else. But as long as the word of God, then you get a direction, start this, it will be there, you know? Now, you create moments of inspiration. Let me tell you something. You have to learn how to take advantage of moments of what? Inspiration. By doing this, because they come, and if you don't take advantage of it, it might not come back like that way. The other day, somebody came to me and had bought my book, Strength of Character, from Amazon, and wanted me to sign. So I got the book and I just started reading through. And I was fascinated. I said, am I the one who wrote these things? Like, the things were too brilliant for me, eh? Now, it's just, I had a moment of inspiration that time. I was alone, I was single, I would wake up in the morning and do absolutely nothing except that. So I had my laptop, so I would wake up and just get on the laptop. And then I would write. And it would be like I'm real flow for like 3-4 hours. Then I stop because I get bored. Okay, the inspiration stops. Then I leave and I go now, maybe to find something to eat or something like that. And then I got so in love with. Now this is where this whatever comes in. When you start it, it becomes something that you really, really can get even addicted to. But it's a good addiction. Because I remember I would be out seated having coffee and what, and I'm thinking I have to go home because there's a place I would sit outside. I had a chair like this. I would sit outside there and pray a bit and then start meditating. And then I would get things there which I, you know, that's the place where I got. The original idea of that book is when the Lord spoke to me clearly, loud, clearly. When I asked myself, I'd been thinking, what's my problem? Why can't I seem to get control of, you know, this and that. So I just kept on thinking, what's my problem? What's my problem? Then I was thinking about it. Then somehow it came out of my mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I ended up saying, but what's my problem? Then I heard the voice very clearly, your problem is insecurity. I said, what? Now, that began a whole journey. Because the Lord tells you just one color in. Everything else comes by the way of downloading. And that is that brilliant book. I have not read any Ugandan book which is as good as mine. No, I dare you to bring one written by a Ugandan. I dare you to bring where an objective person. I mean, I want you to be objective. It's not there. That was inspiration. Okay, maybe apart from one or two. But that was the real inspiration. That's what they call inspiration. Like, if you don't take advantage of that moment, it might not come back. And now, how do you get those moments coming all the time? Through this. That you're if I had not written that book that time, I would never have written it. End of story. If you told me to write it now, there is no way I can write it. I cannot. Even me, I was reading it and I was fascinated. I said, if I wrote this, no. It's not that Ndiwakavi, it was that time I took advantage of, you know, that calm moment. Amen? Now, how many moments of inspiration come and go and you've not done anything with them? An idea pops like this and it is, you're supposed to take advantage of it there and then it passes. So now, that your progress, you see, it says give yourself entirely to them. Meditate on them, give yourself entirely, completely. Don't be, you know, go ahead. Verse 16. Then it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Okay? You will save yourself. Now he's talking about a pastor, Pastor Timothy. And he's telling him you will save yourself. Wasn't Timothy saved? Obviously he's talking about another salvation. Praise the Lord. Timothy had preached the gospel with him all throughout. This was Paul. Actually, this was one of his last books. Now, he says, and you'll save both yourself by just meditating on these things and those who hear you. Now, those who hear you, if there is no meditation, they will see that you're empty. There's nothing new you're bringing to the table. And you come and talk, then they will come back the same and you talk and there's nothing new because you've not been in connected to the source. Praise the Lord. You've been busy. Now, of course, what the devil does, if he doesn't want you to get into the original ideas that are inside you, is creating distractions. You have all these things to watch, these things to do, these things to what, these things, and you can't segment your time properly. The best time, actually, when I did that was I was alone. So during the day, I was a human doing. And during the night, I was a human being. Because you see, people are doings. They wake up and have to do this, do that, do that, do that. They never sit down to know what is inside them. Do you know every treasure is inside you? Every treasure is inside you. God made, that's why it says in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. It actually doesn't say that. It says work out your own salvation. Your own salvation. This is the salvation he's talking about with Timothy. Because it's not talking about the salvation of being born again, I received Jesus Christ. It says your own salvation. So your salvation is not the same as mine. Otherwise, you'd be in the same financial place that I am, or something like that, or spiritual place. I have to work out my own salvation. Okay? There is the common salvation which was worked out by Jesus Christ. But there is one which I have to work out. Now, that word own came to me when I was meditating on that scripture. I said, hey, work out your own. Then I saw somewhere, Paul says, our common salvation. Now this one is your own salvation. Now what is inside you? Coming out. You see, let me tell you this. The scripture, in the beginning, everything that was made, God made the heaven and the earth. Then he spoke to the earth to bring forth all plants. He spoke to the earth and told the earth, bring forth plants. And the earth brought forth what? And animals, all sorts of animals. Then he spoke to the sea and told the sea to bring forth all form of sea creatures. That's why when they die, they become water. You never find a skeleton of a whale in the ocean. When the whale dies, it becomes water. Just like you, when you die, your body becomes what? Soil. Because that's where you came from. Okay? So you cannot say that we found a skeleton of a whale which was 50 years old. No. It decomposes and becomes water. Because that's where it came from. Now, he says, let's go back to that story of creation. There's something I want you to see here. Genesis 1:1. So he says, so everything came from the earth. Okay? He spoke to the earth, bring forth this. It brought forth plants, brought forth animals. It brought forth, now even our bodies, he molded them from the earth, okay? From the clay. And the only thing that is separate from the animals is he breathed his spirit into us. So now, the earth has the ability to bring forth anything. And then the Bible, talking about the earth, calls the earth her. In the book of Mark, he says, the earth brings forth fruit of herself. As if the earth is a woman. Do you know why? Because it's a woman. Now I'll tell you this. A woman has in herself the ability to do everything to bring forth life. She has the ability to nurture the child in the womb, to feed the child, for the child to get nutrients from the mother, for the child to come out, be breastfed and what? Everything is within the woman. The only thing she doesn't have is what? A seed, which the Bible, the word seed, which is used in the incorruptible seed, is the same as sperm. It's actually the Greek word which we use, which they use for seed, is spermatos, something like that, from which we get the word sperm. Now, everything is there. The only thing that is lacking is what? Now, that the seed is the word of God. That's why Peter says, the incorruptible word of God. That's the seed. So the earth, he speaks the word, brings forth animals, speaks. Now you have the ability to produce anything that you want. All you need is the seed. Praise the Lord. All you need is what? Planted inside you. Not just hearing. The seed planted inside you, the seed of the word. Now even Mary, when the angel came and spoke to her the word of God and told her that you are going to be pregnant, the minute Mary accepted and said, behold, the maid servant of the Lord, may it be unto me even as you've spoken. The word that the angel had spoken was the sperm that made her. That's why her child was called the word of God. Okay? If it was a man's sperm, it would probably be called that man's name. You see? So I want you to see that it's the same. The word and the seed. The seed, the word, and sperm, the same. Now, all that is needed is that thing to be planted inside you and can produce anything you want. But you see, there are two ways of producing things which people want. There are two ways of producing. So what I was saying is, there are two ways people get. Okay? God said, let earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. The earth brought it forth. You know that. I don't want us to go there. But I was trying to say there are two ways you can get what you actually want here. I mean in the kingdom, in this kingdom. The first way is by declaration. Like a man of God says, be blessed, receive your healing, do what? And it happens. Okay? That is one way. But it doesn't always work like that. There's a more sure way. Only the sure way is a bit longer. Takes a bit longer. But it is absolutely sure and it cannot fail. It does not fail at all. And that is by getting the seed of the word of God and planting it inside you. Now that can take a while. It can take a while before, if you started planting the seed of the word of prosperity inside you right now, and you meditated on it seriously, the way I've told you, and you started getting it right now, it might take you 2 years before you actually start seeing it flowing. Okay? Now somebody says, 2 years, I don't have that time. If I told you to go and do a master's for 2 years, and you come back and you might get a job, you'd do it. But you might even not get the job. Okay? But this one, you cannot fail to get. You can't, it doesn't fail. That's why he calls it the incorruptible seed. It produces after its kind. It cannot be corrupted. You see, eh? That's why he says, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by this word of God. The incorruptible seed. So, now if you think 2 years is a long time, I'm giving you an example. It might take shorter than that, depending on the quality of your meditation. But if you think 2 years is a long time, then you are in the wrong kingdom. Because God is not governed by time. But I'll tell you this, you would think it's a long time, and after 2 years you will still be grassing. Yet if you had started at some stage, you would be in a sure different place. Like there is no two ways. The reason people come here, pray for me, what, because they have not gone through this process. So they are looking for the simpler way. Receive. And sometimes it happens. A lot of times it happens. But then there is this other way of planting the seed inside you. Okay? But some of you want to adopt babies even instead of giving birth to them. So you go and adopt a baby of 5 years who can talk. Because the process of giving birth and waiting for a kid to cry all night and what is too long for you. And that's how people are. But in these things, now you see, if somebody got a seed of any given thing and actually put his mind to it and sowed it inside him right now, completely sowed it inside his heart, it will give birth without fail. It cannot fail. It is impossible for it to fail. Amen? Like you just all it needs is time. It will bring forth what it is that that word says. Now, every seed of everything that you will ever need, God gave you the seed in his word. Amen? The seed for healing, the seed for whatever, for financial prosperity. Every seed is there. Everything you can imagine you ever need is there. You just have to locate it in his word and then plant the seed inside your heart through the magic of meditation. And then you just give time and wait for it to come. But you see, there are some reasons why it might not come out, which have nothing to do with the seed, but with where it was planted. And let's look at, go to Mark chapter 4. Man, that parable. There is no parable like that one, I'm telling you. It explains everything you need to know about everything. If you understand Mark chapter 4, you have a PhD in everything. Art, sciences, and everything, I'm telling you. If you understand Mark chapter 4, everything you need to know about everything is in Mark chapter 4. Okay, go to verse 14. You know the parable. But it has layers and layers and layers. You can start studying it and you finish after the rapture. So the sower sows what? Start from verse 13. It says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? In other words, this is the foundational parable. If you don't understand this one, the others, you're wasting your time. This is the starting place and usually the finishing place. Mark this parable of the sower. It explains everything. You can be an artist, a scientist, a fine artist, a pilot, whatever, by reading Mark chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Now, he says, the sower sows the word. Verse 14. Now, the sower sows the seed of what? The word. Then go ahead. It says, and these are the ones who by the wayside, the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word away because it's sown in the earth. Now it says it's sown by the wayside. Now this is very few people because most people actually receive the word. The wayside means that it does not even enter the ground. at all. It's like you came here, maybe you're on your mobile phone and what, and you scanned it hard. So the word did not actually enter inside you at all. So it was wayside. So it was there to be taken. Now, most people will not, it will not be this quick where it is, Satan comes immediately and takes it away. And by the way, I'll tell you this. I used to think that this is a figure of speech until there's some guy who had been a devil worshipper, who I came and spoke about his time as in that kingdom. And he said his work would be to go and when a word is, like, to churches on Sunday, and when a word is sown, he comes and distracts there immediately, and he used to do things in a certain way, and somehow the word is stolen. So because he has to steal the word, because that's the seed. Now, if he steals the seed, then there's nothing that is going to sprout. And so you end up in that. So he says, okay, now, the next one is one where actually most people fall. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now, that is most people. They receive it and they are happy to receive it. Also, this can actually work. This is, you know, then they receive it with gladness. Then it goes ahead to say, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, somebody say when tribulation. Say when tribulation. It doesn't say if. Amen? It doesn't say what? It says when. It will definitely come. Any word that is sown, you just know it is going to be followed by tribulation. Amen? But you have to go past that stage. You listen to a word, you receive it, you're happy about it, then now the tribulation comes. For instance, let's say you listen to a word. Somebody told me, they came here, I prayed for her to get for healing, and then she came later, and so as soon as you prayed for me, the sickness became worse. Now, usually that is a sign that healing is coming. It's just the tribulation that comes. If the word doesn't change anything, then maybe it's not coming. But you see, he says when tribulation or persecution arises. The persecution is not persecution of somebody chasing you, what, you know. No. It is persecuting the word that you have. Let's say you get a word of prosperity and you're excited. And then you say, no, this is going to work for me. And I know this because I've been through this. The minute you start wanting to sow it inside you, your landlord will call, everybody, Akubanja will call, if there is anything, they will, like, everything will go anywhere. Then, and I've had this where you live and you had the word, you excited, then the landlord calls. Jagara Sendeza. And now you say, okay, the word is good, but we need money. Okay? Now, that is the tribulation. Now, if you go past that stage, you have escaped something. The devil will see you, those ends, dust. Like if you escape this pain, because you would have to come up with any word. So he says, when the tribulation persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Why? Because they have no root. Now, how do you develop root? Through meditation. Okay? When you meditate on something and you really, really believe it, and it has entered you and you believed it, the persecution will come and you will say, no, I believe, I know what I believe. Eh? And you stick there. And you call a miracle. That is the victory. Amen? Because you've met it and you've believed it and you know it, and it is not subject to outside stimulus, you say, I believe the word of God says this, and I've chosen to believe God. This is the truth. There is no other truth apart from the truth of the word of God. Then the landlord calls, you say, I don't have your money, but I know I'm blessed because the word of God, what? Says I'm blessed. You don't have to tell him that. That's excessive information. But wait for the blessing to manifest. As soon as you hang up, you say, I don't have your money, wait. But you hang up and say, okay, I don't have the money, but I am blessed. Because the word of God says that I am blessed. And let the whole world be liars, but God be true. Now you stand and stand on it. Now you're developing root. You're becoming stronger and believing. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you this. When I actually took time and meditated on this word, I would go days and days. I don't have any money whatsoever. But you could not convince me that I'm not blessed. Like it was so deeply entrenched in me. And now you see, people want to come and get the benefit of going through this without going through it. You can't. Praise the Lord. It's open for everybody. This is the master's course. This one, you don't even need high school or P7. You can enter master's without any prior education. And do master's and PhD. All wrapped in one, and they give you what? This one. Because everyone. Now, when I got it properly and it entered me, I remember he said, I will never be broke again. Because I was so confident of myself. Because I had believed the word and had seen, gone through trials. I've told you some of those trials. They threatened me. I said, no. And even like, don't think that there's going to be a time when they will come, even now, sometimes. When maybe you go through a stick. But I am not scared at all. I am not moved whatsoever. I know. I am like, I meditated on this. It is inside me. Okay? I know that there is nothing. Broke, cableta, not possible. Praise the Lord. Now you might think that I'm saying that basing on anything else. And there are some people who thought that. There is somebody who, one of our ministers here, went and was asking somebody for money. You know, they come and ask for money, you know, give me money, what? Some of those people whom I disposed of. And then the person said, but now you don't see Papa asking us for money. He says, also him, there are people whom he phones us. Have I ever confused you? Man, me, I know to confuse. I go to the word. Let me tell you, when the kamani gets tight, I just go and renew my meditation on how blessed I am. I just go and remind myself. That's why it says, like, you know, you have to remind yourself. And remind yourself, no, I am blessed. I'm blessed. And like you really be there and sometimes go through fresher course. You know, even if you finished PhD, sometimes you have to go to the what? Yeah, and do the books. Go to the books, your notes. So I go back to the notes and I meditate on it. In 2 or 3 days, problem solved. But I have to what? Go. Sometimes you have to go and refresh a bit and remind yourself of who you are. Praise the Lord. Now, those who want to kufunza, people, you go and kufunza. but now, imagine if, so anyway, so you get root through tribulation. Now, that's what the purpose of the tribulation and the trial is, to give you root. It is not God to try. It is so that it is now firm in you. Now God is trying to shake you a bit to see what is steady. Now when he has shaken you properly and now you're steady, then now he knows that's the end. You've learned it and now you're going to be okay for the rest of your life, which is so many years. Praise the Lord. So now imagine what comes to help you defeats you. It's not supposed to defeat you. You have to be in the position to say, even if you chase me out of your house, very soon I'm going to be a landlord because I am blessed. Like, and you're talking with confidence. And man, let me tell you something. There is nothing that rings so powerful in the spirit realm like somebody who is challenged, speaking, and is speaking purely from a place of faith. If you have billions in the bank and you say, I'm blessed, it's not so powerful in the spirit realm. But if you have nothing and they are almost chasing you out and you say, I'm blessed, and the only foundation of your statement is the word of God, God looks and says, man, this is my guy. Because that's called faith. And without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please God. Now he says, now this is faith, because it's not based on any other thing, nothing. I know this is what the word of God says. Anyway, so he says, persecution for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Go ahead. Then they said, verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Go ahead. And the cares of this world. Now, what these things, what usually is the cares of this world is what I told you, those things which come and are demanding your immediate attention. Immediately. If you don't bring the money by this day, we are going to court. Now, there are and now everything that, now when you see all those things coming together, you know the word is getting sunk. And the enemy has to do something to get you off the word. Now, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, sometimes things will come which promise to give you short-term reward. And all that so that you don't stick to this. Because if you stick to this, you get to a point where now you've gone. You can no longer be drawn back anyway. And then also, and desires for other things. Now, this is where most people falter. Other words, somebody else comes and says, no. You know, we can, and the word can be diluted by other words. You see, which come and are competing with it, and some knowledge, something which appears to be knowledge, which competes with it and wants to make it look like they are the same level with the word of God. The word of God is sure. Like the only sure thing you have in this world is the word of God. That is, it's the one which created the ground on which you move everything. So the only sure thing is the word of God. Now, other people will come and say, 7 steps. Eh? 7 habits of successful people. Praise the Lord. Eh? Or they wake up very early in the morning. Haven't you read those books? There is one which I read, 7, and actually it was even written by a Christian and even would talk about, but like it is, you will do those habits and you remain broke. If habits could make people rich, habits can make people broke, but they can't make people rich. Okay, bad habits can make people broke. But over they wake up early, over they do what, let me tell you, the word of God, eh? There's one habit of successful people. They consume meditatively the word of God. That is the seed. They plant seed. You cannot harvest without seed anyway. And the desires for other things entering in, choking the word. You see, they're choking. Because the word is beginning to come out. You cannot choke a plant which is in the ground. Okay? Now it was beginning to come out, was beginning to sprout. It's just about to produce fruit. Then somebody comes and gives you some other knowledge. Then another piece of knowledge. Then another piece of knowledge. Ah. And that's it. Now it comes and chokes the word. And eventually it does not produce fruit. Go ahead. Then it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. The level to which you actually sow it inside you will determine whether you're 30, 60, or 100. Go ahead. So he says, he also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Go ahead. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Eh? Praise the Lord. There is nothing what? Which will not be what? Eh. What does that mean? That means that when you're doing your meditation, nobody knows. You see, eh? When I was doing my meditation there, I didn't have a car, I didn't have water. I would finish and jump on a boda and go to look for something to eat. So what I had inside my heart was hidden. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but now it's packed outside there. It's no longer hidden. You see what I'm saying? When you're meditating on your house, it's hidden. But when you call us for housewarming, eh? It will be revealed. That's the revealing. The revealing is when everything that you've been cooking. You see, when you're cooking, nobody is interested. They want to see ready food. But when you're cooking, only you know what you're doing. Everybody else thinks you're wasting your time. Some of them will even ask you, so what are you doing with your life these days? Some of them used to ask me that. Now they ask me for money. No, I'm serious. This is what are you doing with your life? I'm meditating on the word of God. Now when they come, they're asking for money. They're no longer asking what I'm doing with my life. By the way, you can look stupid when you believe these things. Eh? But it is the only sure thing that God gave. Now, It is sure, certain. Praise the Lord. And man, people suffer. When you go through that phase of what are you doing with your life, you even hide away from people. Because, like, you have no answer. You look stupid. You look like you're a lounger. Eh? You look like, you know, these people who lounge, wake up in the morning and they do nothing. Eh? And to some extent, you're a lounger. Because what happens is, I would be out in the compound up to like 3:30, 4 in the morning doing my meditation. Then at that time I sleep and wake up at midday. Then the people see you waking up at midday say, but this guy, man, you're wasting what? You're waste of space. Praise the Lord. There's nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Right now what you're seeing here, there are things which are hidden here, which are about to be revealed. Even in you. Isn't it? Yeah. But relax. People will try to put you under pressure. And now that's part of making you lose faith in the process. Okay? Don't let anybody put you under pressure. A time will come when they are the ones who are asking, how do you what? Praise the Lord. Okay. Nothing, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. So now, if you took this message seriously, I'm just going to wait for you by this time next year. And I should come and say, "Hey, so that's what you were hiding all along. This powerful mansion was hiding inside your heart. Praise the Lord. Hey, and like it is spectacular, and we shall celebrate with you. Praise the Lord. Hey, amen. And now." The secrets, they will be revealed. Those who took it seriously, those who didn't, those who think they're in a hurry, those who think 2 years, we shall all know. We just wait. We shall know at some stage. Go ahead. Okay, let's go quickly. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Okay? Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Now, there is a depth in these things, by the way. Because here he says, take heed what you hear. Somewhere else he says, take heed how you hear. So it's not just what you hear, but how you hear it. So he says, take heed what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. I'm not going to try to explain that. Go ahead. Verse 25. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Now this is the scripture which confuses people. I remember one time I was working at New Vision, and then some guy called me and told me, but is it true the Bible says that those who have, they will be given more, and those who don't have, even the little they have will be taken away? I said, yes, it says that. The guy said, okay. Because it sounds very unfair, eh? Very unfair. And I said, aina aliongeru wako. Newe ataina. Na katono kaina. Kajamuji wako. You see, and it is there. It is in red. Jesus is the one who said it. He says, for whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, what does that mean? You see, here is the thing. When you go through this process and you start giving birth to something, then you start having, the next thing becomes so much easier. You see, eh? Now you keep on, it's just adding. So if you went and got, let's say, your kaka, I got your kaka, you see, eh? From this, by this, the next cow will come so much easier. Because now you've gone through the hard part. Now if it took you, let's say, 1 year to get to that kaka, the next one will take 2 months. And then the next one will take 1 month. Like, it becomes easier. Then people say, but this guy, how come the other day you are, every time you're the one who is changing cars. Now you're going to this one. Now you're going to the other. Now you're going to the other. Ainari ongeru wako. Okay? Now, because you've already cultivated, now it is easy. Your ground is well cultivated. So every seed that falls germinates quickly. Because you've cultivated. How do you cultivate it? By going through, bringing one thing to pass through faith. The others come easy. Praise the Lord. You know that when you're planting in a garden which has you've just harvested from, it's not as difficult as starting a garden afresh, isn't it? Eh. So now those who don't have, who say that 1 year is a long time for me to wait, I'm here, expect my car next month. Okay, you can get it. But then those who don't have, even the car one you have, they will come and what? And take it away. Even the little you have, somebody will come and take it away. And say, I want that one. Praise the Lord. Now, this is, have you understood what this means? So now you start. That means you have to be in the category of those who have. Never be in the category of those who don't have. Because when you don't have, there is no mercy for you. They will come and pick what you have and take it. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go ahead. Verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God. Now this is now where the PhD is. We finished master's. Now this is PhD. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now this is Jesus summarizing everything you need to know about the kingdom. Now you see, the kingdom of the world is run in a totally different way. The kingdom of the world is run on the basis of buying and selling. Amen? Everything is either bought or sold. You buy your education and then you go and sell it to an employer. Amen? If you are in business, you're buying, selling. If you are in employment, if you are an accountant, you went and paid money to get that degree, whatever it is you have. And then eventually what? Sell it to an employer. So that is the kingdom of the world. But now Jesus is saying, no, aside from the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of God is like this. This is the kingdom of God. As a man scatters a seed on the ground, you know what the seed is. Then he says, go ahead. And should sleep by night and rise by day. In other words, after he has scattered the seed, he goes to sleep. It is not his business to make that seed come to pass. Amen? God put in place a system which makes the seed, once it is planted, the system kicks into action and brings the seed to multiply. It has nothing to do with you. You're not going to go and look at the ground and say, let me see if my seed is going to sprout. No. After planting it, you go and do what? Sleep. And rise by day. Okay, go back. You should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Now, these are things which are beyond you. You don't know how God made the ground to make one seed of maize become a cob of maize. That system was put by him. You have no idea about it. Neither do you have any idea about how a sperm, which is liquid, enters into a womb and a kid develops bones and comes out with the bones. Where did the bones come from? Like, some things are beyond you. That is the wisdom of God. It actually says somewhere in Ecclesiastes, nobody knows how the bones are formed in the womb of a woman. Okay? Because there were no bones anyway. There was just flesh and liquid. But somehow, the child comes out bones, fully developed with everything. Now, that is the same principle. It is beyond you. He himself does not know how, but God put it there. So yours is to take advantage of it. It says, go back. Okay. Let's read this one. And you don't know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with the child. So you see, you don't know. The Bible says you don't know how the bones grow in the womb. Anyway, but let's go back to our thing. And should sleep by day and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Go ahead. For the earth yields crops by itself. Now, here it says itself. But you go to King James, it says herself. For the earth bringeth forth fruit for herself. I told you the earth is a woman. You know, there are some languages which have masculine and feminine for everything, even, you know, inanimate things. A stone is either a man or a woman, like French. That's why I tried to learn it and I just gave up. Because you have to first learn that these ones are women. These ones are men. So what is a chair? A chair is a man. Hey, what about a table? A table is a woman. I said, those are yours. I actually tried. I went to Allianz France. If you get the gender wrong, if you misgender a table, your whole sentence will be wrong. Because you'll be using wrong whatever. Like I said, how am I going to cram everything, whether it's male or female? I said, let me stick to English. So now you see, it's here, it says, but maybe they had a point, because it says, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, praise the Lord. Of what? Then it says, first the blade. Now, you have to know this. Okay? First the what? You are not going to start at the top. When the thing has started growing, you start somewhere. When I started wanting to meditating on this thing, my first target was to get out of debt. I wanted to get out of debt, and I got out of debt. I wasn't rich by any stretch, but I was out of debt, and that was the bread. You see, people want to hurry, be in a hurry. When it has started, it has started. Just sit back. It's coming. You see? It's arriving. It will be. It gets bigger and bigger. It says, first the bread, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. Now, what he's saying, it comes in progression. Glory to God. So if you say now for you, you want a mansion somewhere in Buziga and what, as the first thing, you're deceiving yourself. That's not the blade. But start somewhere, you see, the mansion will come with time. That's the full coin. Sorry, the full what? Corn in the ear. Now, when you miss out on this, people are in a hurry. Now, you can receive, okay, now this time for ownership. And people can receive because of the season of ownership. And you can receive without going through this process. But then even when you receive it, you still need to go through this process because you have to concretize everything through this. So he says, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Amen. Go ahead. That's the end of it. It says, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Okay? Is that the end? What verse 30? Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall I picture it? It is like a mustard seed. You see, he's giving our similes. Kingdom of God is like this. But what you should understand is when Jesus summarized the kingdom of God to which we belong, he says, it is as a man should plant. That's it. As a man should sow a seed. The kingdom of God is as a man should sow a seed. That is the kingdom in anything. All of us are here because a man sowed a what? Somewhere. Amen? Now, it is the same principle. You can get anything you want as a man sows the seed. A seed in the ground. What is the seed? The word of God. Sow it in the ground through meditation. In other words, spend time with yourself this festive season. Praise the Lord. Don't let December turn to January when at least you've not sown something. Then just start watering it. Watering it. We shall see you harvesting. At some stage. Praise the Lord. So, remember that the kingdom of God, that's it. Is as a man sows a what? Okay. Now you're going to sow a seed. Of a different kind. This time I'm going to stay and pray for it. For New Year blessings. So get your seed. Just hold on to it before you collect. First for you to collect. What is this picture? Whose person is it? Yours, What's she to you? Your mother, okay, let's pray for her. First wait. What's her name? Joy. What's she suffering from?
She has a swollen gallbladder.
Gallbladder?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, now I want every one of you, put the picture up there. I want all of you to point towards her. And in one accord, speak healing, speak health, speak wholeness, speak the power of God touching her where she is right now. And declare healing upon her in the name of Jesus. Father, she's called Joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing upon Joy, healing on her body in the name of Jesus. We together, lift up your voice, we together with everybody in this place. We decree in the name of Jesus that your healing power touches Joy wherever she is in the name of Jesus, and she's lifted up from sickness and returns to fullness of health in Jesus' name. And now the health of God covers her in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And we speak life, we speak wholeness upon her in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, stand up, everybody. Just hold your offering and Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing of multiplication upon each and every person in this place. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because wonderful things are happening in our life. You prepare for us a special table for 2025. We prepare for us a table in the midst of our enemies. And in the name of Jesus, we shall partake of the wonderful goodies that you have in store for us in 2025. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because now we enter a great period where we receive divine connections, we receive alignment from you, we receive partnerships. You put together people in the name of Jesus, even in accordance with what you told me. You bring people together for the purpose of them accomplishing what you have set before them. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for divine connections that bring forth different levels, that bring forth new levels for everybody in this place, in the name of Jesus. Now, receive our offerings now, in the name of Jesus, receive our offerings, and we pray that we receive multiplication from you, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Say, I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Say, I'm multiplied.
I am multiplied.
In the name of Jesus. And do not forget what you've heard today. If you need to go and listen to it, they will post it again. Listen, if you need to listen to it again, don't forget. Make sure you sow your seed immediately and start watering it. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy 2025.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at The Watchman Grounds, opposite Mukwaya Hospital, near the American Embassy, along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.